Love Talk Radio.
This is Colin from Can I Justify. You're rocking Attitude Era Live with Icon, Granny Hawkster, and Big Twin.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Attitude Era Monday Live, Monday time, and we are live here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we thank you for joining us. We're going to have the Modern Nightmare here in a second, and we have a special guest co-host this week. However, before we get to that, I need to read a little announcement about Attitude Era Live real quick here. Due to the instances that occurred on our show last week, Pedzing and Attitude Era Live have mutually parted ways. Pedzing's continued interruptions, outbursts, and unprofessionalism on the show last week has been deemed unprofessional and unacceptable and unexcusable. We wish Pedzing the best in all his future endeavors, and good luck and Godspeed. Now, on to the show. So we have Attitude Era Monday Live Monday. We are here live every single Monday night. And if I hit this button here, I bet you I have our guest co-host. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself to the masses?
Hello, everybody. My name is Safira.
Are you there? Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
Sorry. All right, go ahead. Introduce yourself there, and there's the nightmare. Hey. Go ahead.
My name is Safira the Forsaken. I am a model in California. I'm a vampire model. And you are listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live, Mondays on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, The Icon, and also The Modern Nightmare, Mathis. Excuse me. Thank you for joining us today.
And I do believe, if I turn on this mic, I do believe the nightmare is on this mic. Is that right?
Yep. I just walked into the studio.
All right. And I'm sure you heard the announcement that our co-host from last week is no longer going to be with us.
Yeah, I did. I did get the announcement from our group text,
and it is unfortunate, but it had to be done.
I agree.
So, before we go ahead and start the show here, why don't you catch us up, Nightmare, on what you're doing? Because we didn't really get to do that last week.
Well, as I said before, I was running into a lot of personal and private demons, that kind of thing. I've been doing a lot of soul searching through a lot of ups and downs lately with life and stuff like that, with the loss of a family member and such like that. I've just been kind of just doing what I'm doing, and tonight I actually just got a word that somebody answered my open challenge for my APW World Heavyweight Championship, and I had to go make a response video to them before I came here because it had to be sent out because we got to promote it throughout the week. So, yeah, I'm just working, wrestling, and doing the usual kind of stuff, and had a nice relaxing weekend last weekend to get ready for the ring this upcoming weekend.
So who was it that challenged you? Was it Vince Russo or Pedzing?
It was neither of the two. It was actually a former foe of mine in Jake Taylor. He decided to step up to the plate. He's only been into APW once in his career, and he thought he could step up and challenge me for my title. I mean, I think I deserved a well-deserved champion's night off, but I guess he had other plans in mind. So now I've got to face him for my title, but I have a special stipulation that I have yet to announce, and I will not be doing that until this upcoming Saturday at the event.
Do you make it a habit of beating up catchers from the Cleveland Indians?
Yes, I do. I mean, whoever wants to step up to the plate, let's do it. I mean, anybody that's tried to take this title from me has fallen, whether it was Nick Pride or Bullet Bronson, soon it'll be Jake Taylor or Devlin Kane, that kind of thing. I've had a lot of challengers fall at my arms, at my knees, and my hands and all that kind of stuff. So I guess we'll see what happens this coming Saturday.
You know, I got to ask, Sapir, do you think that you would ever consider yourself to be a ring valet? Would you ever do that?
Maybe. I mean, it sounds fun. It sounds like it could be fun. Very interesting.
Nightmare, I'll tell you what. Here's what you love about Severe. She's a vampirist, and she could bite your opponent and help you get a win with a nibble or two.
Well, I mean, if it distracts well enough and it gets the job done, I mean, I'll shed their blood in any way possible, and I like to shed my own. So as I said last week, there's no other feeling in the world like sitting in the back of the locker room after doing a job well done with half your blood gone, having a nice drink or whatever the case may be, and just relaxing. So, if she's willing to spill the blood in her own way to help me get the victory and keep whatever I have around my waist, I'm cool with it.
Severe, now, if I'm not mistaken, you like a little blood, don't you, every once in a while?
Well, speaking of blood, I just was at – excuse me for my voice. I'm not sick or anything. I just – there's a lot going on. Everybody understands that. So excuse me if my voice goes up and down, and if you can't hear me, let me know, okay, because I'll repeat what I had to say.
That's fine.
Yeah, speaking about blood, one of my very first photo shoots, I covered myself in, stage blood, and then yesterday I just covered myself in stage blood. So, yeah, I have no problem getting bloody. So –
So I guess that leads me to our next question then, Nightmare. When you have your thumbtack matches, how much of the blood that happens when you're in the ring, how much of that is stage blood?
None of it. I mean, that's a lot of people like to say, people like to call wrestling the F word. I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to sit here and rant and rave about it, but here's the thing. We go out to that ring. We will shed our own blood. We put our bodies out on the line. I have had nearly to the point where I've passed out due to blood loss. I have felt clammy, cold, numb, all that kind of stuff after losing blood. I've lost it in several different parts of my body, from my hands to my back to my head to my nose to my eyes to my ears. I've bled in plenty of different places all over the states, and I've still do it again if ever need be. I've had many concussions that I've had close to where I've, spilled some blood. But other than that, it's just none of it is stage blood. None of it is cherry flavored. None of it is like when Gene Simmons used to do his cherry bomb, where he would spit out the blood before he would fly.
Right.
That was on stage. Or somebody that does certain tricks or whatever, they can produce blood that way by doing the cherry bomb, whereas we do it, we cut ourselves up, we land on thumbtacks, and we get our bodies penetrated by all sorts of sharp objects that will cause us to bleed.
Well, I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to get this week before Halloween show kicked off, and we have a bevy of Halloween treats here tonight. We need to take a quick little commercial break. It looks like our first guest is waiting in the wings, so we're going to take a quick little commercial break, a timeout, if you will, and we'll be right back after these messages, so stick with us, and we will be back. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he haunts every studio that he's been involved in, and it will continue tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the superstar himself. He is the man. He is a legend. He is a horror flick god. He is Rob. Kill him.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
really
man.
Good. How are you?
Oh, great to be here. Great to be here. This is the season, right?
Right.
Good. Hey, I want to introduce you to my co-host. We have the Modern Nightmare. He's on my left. And we have Saphira the Forsaken. She's a vampirist. She's on my right. And we're going to interview you. And your partner, Chuck Stallone, is going to be joining us here shortly as well. You guys are going to be talking about this little project you guys got going on, where basically your project, you celebrate Halloween 365 days a year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, absolutely. You guys are my kind of people.
Hey, Halloween is every day for me as well. I rock
yes.
it. I support it.
You know, if the one cool thing about Miss Forsaken here is, you know, if you want her to nibble on your ear, she's probably going to leave a hole in the lobe because she's got these fangs.
Oh, my goodness.
She's got these fangs. You have fangs
are
unbelievable.
Come on, do you not have fangs?
Do you not have fangs?
Okay, hold up. Okay, so yes, I did get my fangs professionally put in by a dentist.
Nice.
They do not come out. I have to have the dentist pull them out, but they are real. And yes, he is right. I am a vampire. Yes. I've actually invested in that when I was like 18. I wanted it. And then when I was 21, I went and got them done.
And Bob, before we... we're going to, like I say, your partner, Chuck, is going to be calling in. Now, you guys, we'll warm this up with you. You guys have a project, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, what is it, like a haunted studio or haunted house or something, or like a haunted theater or something that you guys do?
Well, it's kind of like a horror sci-fi genre where it's very similar to like Tales from the Crypt and Elvira, where you have the horror sci-fi aspect, and then you have the dark humor aspect of it as well. So the concoction of it all, I mean, makes some great entertainment.
And I do believe it's called Stroh's Sinister Cinema. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Stroh's Sinister Cinema. The three S's.
And you obviously know Chuck Stallone. He's your partner. And have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Ron Rossman? Have you ever heard of that guy?
Oh man, well, let me start with Chuck Stallone. Not only do I know him through the wrestling, we're wrestling brothers, but professional wrestling. But he did such a tremendous job in the series, playing Wolfgang, my partner. Crime, if you will, for Papa Stroh, and it's very entertaining. Oh my gosh, I mean, I just can't, words can't do him justice. I mean, he just took it apart, and we had such entertaining scenes together, and heck, I can't wait to do more with him. He's great. And Ron Rossman, oh my gosh,
wow.
He's the one that, the mastermind, and he put it all together, I've worked with him before in other projects as well. The Devil's Daughter, A Harlequin Story, as Dr.
Ooh.
Arkham, and also in the Dust series as the Chief, who's pretty much the Grim Reaper in the series.
Vision.
And
speaking of partners, I do believe there's a gentleman on the phone. Caller 6127. Who is this?
It's Chuck Stallone.
How are you, buddy? Do you have a question for our guest at this time? His name is Mr. Kellum. Do you know this individual?
Oh, yeah, I know him.
So we're going to talk a little bit about your project. So here's what we're going to do here. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we're going to do a roundtable, and then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions. The project that we're talking about is Sinister Cinema, and the creator is Ron Rossman. And, of course, he is going to be on at the 10:15 hour. And we have, of course, Chuck, I want to introduce the Modern Nightmare Matthias. And we have Miss Forsaken. She's a vampirist, and she's going to be co-hosting with us tonight. So first off, I want to ask you guys, how did you gravitate towards each other?
Well, the whole concept started with Ron Rossman got wind of one of my bucket list things in life was to be a host for like a horror sci-fi show. Because, I was a big Vincent Price fan growing up, and we got to collaborate, and then, of course, Chuck Sloan and I knew each other, I mentioned before, through the wrestling world, and then he got interest up in it, too, and thus creating Papa Stroh and Wolfgang, right, if you will. And it was just that the chemistry he had on set was just a natural. It was incredible.
So now you guys do this Sinister Cinema project. When you guys are doing this together and you guys are in your makeup, how long are you guys, you guys can both answer this. We'll ask Chuck, and then we'll ask Ron. How long does it take for you guys to get into makeup?
Well, Chuck, let's start with Chuck, because he put a lot of detail in his entourage of makeup. So I want to start with him.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, that icon, I'll tell you how long it took. It took too long, brother, about 3 hours.
Wow.
And,
that's a long time.
It takes 3 hours to do the makeup every day. And how long you guys, during the week, do you do the Sinister Cinema event?
We shot it on set at the Hickory Haunts. In Hickory, North Carolina, which they have like a plethora of different backgrounds, you know, to work with. So we really hit the jackpot, you know, for different sets and locations, you know, within that one area.
Rob Kellum and Chuck Simone are our guests here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we got 30 minutes here with our boys. I want to introduce you to my favorite friend here. She's a vampirist, and I think she would be great in your next Sinister Cinema project. So, Ms. Forsaken, what do you have for our guest? Go ahead. What's your question?
Well, one of the questions I have is, what is, like, if you were to want to film anywhere, whether it's, like, a country or, like, you know, in the U.S., where would it be? Where would you want to really go?
Take it away, Chuck.
Oh, I'm right where I want to be, at home. You see, when you spend years just traveling around, there ain't nothing like home. It's the sweetest place to be.
Understandable.
Would you want to set up the horror set right in your basement then, Chuck?
I live in South Carolina. We only got crawl spaces, but I'm like this. Wherever we set up, I'm good to go.
Man.
It don't matter to me.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I concur with Chuck for all the traveling that we do, but I still have that adventurous side in me, you know, like, you know, explore different locations and heck, I mean, even a castle would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be really cool.
You know, guys, the other cool thing about if you were to hire the Forsaken here, not only is she a real vampirist, she's also a model, and you could put her on her on your posters and in your videos, and you would not believe there would people be lined up out the door, around the building, down the block, into the next county. All they got to do is see her on the poster.
That's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive.
I mean,
I'm impressed. And I want traction on my answer. Why don't you fly us all up to North Dakota and we'll do it up there with y'all in Fargo?
Well, that sounds like fun. I've been trying to get the Forsaken up here for a long time so she and I can do a photo shoot. You know, basically where I would be the one that carries her bags and goes and gets her cappuccino and you know, make sure that the container of blood is full. You know, and
yeah.
Do all that stuff. And you guys, let me tell you, and you know, Forsaken, you know I'm not just saying this because you know it's true. You probably think I am because you're on, but it's not. You guys, she is probably one of the most beautiful vampiresses in the history of the world. And she would She would bring so much to your guys' production.
Oh, man, a modern-day Vampirella, huh?
I mean, I don't know what you would... I do a lot of stuff. I do cosplay. You know, I do a variety of classy and elegant. I do a lot. I don't, like, my vampire is everything I do, but, like, I incorporate other things as well, you know? I've been modeling for 10-plus years. Like, it's something I really enjoy, and I do my own makeup and my own hairstyles and everything and create my own outfits. Like, it's just something I've been doing.
And don't,
Wolfgang,
don't forget
to thank for Wolfgang has to thank for Cyclopses and different creatures of the night. Isn't that right, Chuck?
Yes, sir,
and,
all the time.
And Sophia, uh-huh. don't forget to let him know that your wrestling theme song is "I Put a Spell on You," especially if you don't hire me.
Oh my goodness!
little hidden clause in the contract, right?
Right. Oh, and nothing but green M&Ms too in the locker room. No, in the dressing room,
what?
Whatever.
Oh man, I love
we have,
what's the thing with the green M&Ms?
Well, I can't remember what artist it was, but one of the things on their contract in their dressing room, they could only have green M&Ms. I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Ozzy Osbourne or whoever, or maybe the Rolling Stones, but one of the rules in their contract is they had to have nothing but green M&Ms in their dressing room.
That's interesting.
I'll have to research that and find out who that is. But gentlemen, I want to introduce you to my other co-host. His name is the Modern Nightmare Matthias. Now, I'm sure that he has a horror film question to you, but he is a wrestler. He is a champion, as a matter of fact, and he's going to brag about himself in just a little bit because he likes to do that. You know, he has no ego at all. But let's see here.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
That's not familiar.
Go ahead, Nightmare. What do you got?
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed NSC World Tag Team Champion and APW World Heavyweight Champion, and soon to be APW United States Champion, NSC World Heavyweight Champion, also the United States Champion, and what the heck, let's go Cruiserweight Champion and APW. You know, maybe I'll win the women's title too. What the heck, let's go all those champions. Matthias here. Welcome on to my part of the program. My main question to you guys would be, and I know this is kind of odd, but I kind of thought about this going, driving to work today. And I know this is definitely kind of an odder question, but I've never asked this to a guest who's, you know, done horror media and that kind of stuff. If you can think of your own personality, or you can think of yourself as, because slashers is one of my absolute favorite subgenres of horror altogether, is definitely my favorite. Who do you think would be one of the slasher villains that you would relate most to? Whether it be like your attitude or your ability to do something or whatever the case may be, who would you say you're closest to slasher-wise?
Chuck, take it away.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm a Freddy because, you know, I'm pretty sure that back in my day when I wrestled, I probably gave some kids some nightmares.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Rob Kelman, Chuck Salonzo, I guess, here on 89.1 Ken's FM. And I'm going to ask you guys a little bit now. Now we're going to ask a couple of questions, and we have.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask my slasher.
I don't know.
I'm more of a psychological slasher guy, and I would have to go with like a Jack Nicholson from The Shining type character.
Okay. And I'll say I kind of like, and I know he's not really a slasher, but he's one of my favorite horror movie villains of all time. I'd say I'm more of a Jigsaw, because I like how Jigsaw will take the worst of humanity and still will give them a chance to revive themselves in a way where they have to do something horrible to themselves, or they've got to learn a lesson by either, you know, dismembering a piece of themselves, or, you know, cutting off something that hurts somebody or whatever the case may be, and he plays that game with them, and if they don't have the will to move on, they'll just, you know, die in the trap. And it's like, if I could just, like, that also intrigues me, because, like, if I could just take all the evil in the world and give them a chance, you know, to redeem themselves, but if they fail, then they fail. Like, I won't, like, I have no blame because they did it to themselves, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
Chuck,
that's a good film.
Chuck Sloan and Rob Kellum's our guest here on 89.1 KENS FM. And now, well, we talked a little bit about Sinister Cinema, but I do want to ask you guys real quick here. You guys have done more than that, obviously. You know, Chuck, you're an accomplished wrestler, and you're one of the reasons why a lot of the other guys, like Ric Flair and all those guys, retired because they know they couldn't face you. And we also have Rob Kellum as well, and he's also in the he was also in the wrestling business. But you guys have done a lot of acting projects. Let's talk about Rob first here. We're talking about Southern Iron, The Invited, Sleepy Hollow, probably one of the Forsaken's favorite movie, Bite School, The Brother's Statue, Checkpoint, Good Behavior, The Rack Pack, and Supernatural Assassins, and of course, Chuck. You were in Living Single. You've been in Perry Mason, Melrose Place, The Tick, The Inn, Changing Hands. Now, of all those projects that you guys have done, what would you say, and you guys can both answer this, what would you say is the most favorite project that you guys both have done? We'll start with Rob.
The most fun?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all of them had their entertaining qualities, but I don't think it was none of them was nearly as fun as entertaining as Stroh Sinister Cinema. I mean, we were laughing every single day on set. It was just so entertaining, and even after cutting to the scenes, we were still laughing. So, I mean, it was a good, everybody was having such a great time.
And, Chuck, would you agree, or what was your favorite project besides being on this show? Besides being on the show, because you can't say that. That'd be too easy.
No. I'm going to agree, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when I'm with Stroh, it's nonstop laughter. If one time I was on set doing another movie, I wasn't in the best of moods. We did like a 12, 13-hour day, and Stroh was there for me. I went in a room by myself. He came in, he checked on me, and a lot of people ain't like that, you know, and I appreciate that, and I never forgot it. So when you get to do something with a brother that comes from the same world as you, and you get to share stories, and you get to talk about, you know, the legends of professional wrestling, it helps your day, because nobody knows better than what I went through or what Stroh went through than us. So we can relate to each other on a different level. So I'd say, yeah, any project that I was on with Stroh, I've always had a good time. And that made it my favorite because I got to do it with someone I enjoy.
You know, Chuck, I love how you keep referring to him as the Stroh. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Rob, when you were in wrestling, were you not, were you known as the Maestro? Is that correct?
Yes. Yep, WCW.
And let me ask you this. How many matches did you refuse to be booked by Vince Russo?
Well, honestly, when I, Eric Bischoff was the guy at the time that, you know, brought me in, right?
Right.
Along with Hogan and Savage. And that was the timing. You know, timing in this business is so crucial because, I mean, I got in at the time when WCW was rocking the world and they were beating WWE in the ratings for a short while. So, yeah, it was a great time. And then, you know, we changed bosses quite a bit, as you know, well know. And we were dealing with, you know, the Russo era. Actually, you know, I started making strides for the company. So it was despite it being kind of crazy at times, it was probably one of my best highlights of my career, you know, being there with, like, arguably the best talent in the whole wide world at the time.
You know, You know, Maestro, you had just mentioned that you were brought in by Eric Bischoff. Forsaken, we'll get to you in just 1 second because I got an idea for a cool wrestling match. Nightmare, you have a little history with Eric Bischoff, don't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was wrestling in, I forget which town now for the life of me, but it was for Below Zero Wrestling back last year. I think it was in August. And I was there. Yes, you were there. And I had to wrestle the Mean Marine, Mason Mayhem, and I was in the semi-main event that night. They put me in a match with him, and it was a tribute for the Troop Show or whatever it was. And it was a tribute to the Troop Show kind of thing, and everyone cheered and that kind of thing. Well, Eric Bischoff decided to stick his nose in places where it didn't belong, and he decided to make my match with the Mean Marine a boot camp brawl. And then also, not only did he decide to change my match stipulation so I wasn't prepared for it, he also stuck his nose in my match where he decided to go out with the Mean Marine and manage him throughout the night. And then he, as so matter of fact, decided to put his hands on my former manager, Sylvester J. Fox, and friend The System.
I love that, by the way.
He used the golf club on both of them and cost me my match. So Eric Bischoff and I have a little bit of beef, a little bit of heat going on. But and I challenged him when he came on our show that one time, and it was the whole time it was all him. I stuck my neck out and I said, you know what, Bischoff? You know, you came in and I respected you, and then you decided to stick your nose in a place where it didn't belong, and now you've got heat with the Modern Nightmare. So if you want, get your old butt in the ring, put on your gear, put on your whatever you need to, and come face me. And he accepted. He said he would do a tag team match or whatever, so I'm still waiting for him to sign up the contract and I can get my hands on him.
And I do have good authority that may might happen. I have an idea for stipulation of match. Ms. Forsaken, are you still there with us? How are you?
I'm still here, of course. Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we could do here. We could, Rob, you would like this. And, Chuck, you might like this, too. For the Forsaken there, how about this? We bring you down to Fargo for this match, the Nightmare against Eric Bischoff, and we'll have the first bite match. Whoever has the Forsaken bite them wins the match.
What is you and having me bite everybody? I mean...
So basically what the stipulation of the match is, you'd be ringside, okay? And then what Nightmare would have to do or Bischoff would have to do is they would have to pull their hand to you, and then for them to win the match, you'd have to bite their opponent.
Man, you're just fascinated by my fangs. That's all this is. You just want to see them up close. if we're being real, I can't, you know, actually bite you guys, but I can pretend to bite you guys, and you guys can feel how sharp they are, if they are sharp.
Well, Nightmare, you've bled before, though, right? So a little bite wouldn't bother you.
They will rip through steak. They will rip through steak.
I've taken a cheese grater to the face where it sliced my skin on my forehead.
Oh, my Lord, what?
I've landed in broken glass, thumbtacks. I've been cut by a plate. I've landed on Legos.
Holy cow, dude.
I've been in the for a while, and my favorite – and one of the things that actually happened to me during a match was a guy low-blowed me when I was standing on the top rope, and then he grabbed me by the neck, and he flipped me over onto a table that was – not going to break, apparently, and it was covered in thumbtacks, and when I rolled over, landing on the table, my blood was smeared all over the table, and I had, I think it was 52 or 53 thumbtacks in my back, and the one thing is always, and the worst pain of it all was getting the mustard in my eyes during the match, but, you know, having those things pop out of you every once in a while is just, you do it for the fans. I mean, I've done a cheese grater, all those kind of things.
I would have to say this, that you would be perfect for a Saw movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it's say that.
Yeah, I mean, the Saw films are, the story they've built throughout these films is incredibly insane. And
I just binged
just like
them the other day.
Come up, the creativity is just top-notch.
Rob Kellerman,
I haven't
Chuck
seen the new one yet.
It's worth it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. Rob Kellerman and Chuck Stallone are guests here. So now, you guys, with the Cinema, you guys mentioned that you rap. Now, is there are you guys planning on bringing that back and doing it like a doing a sequel on that and bringing that back? Because we want to see you guys bring that back.
I really hope so. What about you, Chuck?
Yeah, I hope so. But in all honesty, there, Icon, that's a Ron Rossman question. He's the one that calls the shots.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we're gonna do.
The mastermind.
We have Mr. Rossman on at 10:15 Central Standard Time. For those of you who are keeping track of the time, now I don't know if you guys would be willing to call back when he's on, or if you guys want to wait on hold and listen to our second guest. But I am gonna try and get this done to have you guys do another Sinister Cinema, and of course I'm gonna try and get myself a job. I'm going to try and get the Nightmare job, and I'm also going to try and get the Forsaken a job.
Nice.
All right.
Candy for everybody.
you know what would be really cool, though, is like for the premiere for Sinister Cinema, get this. Okay, Rob, you're sitting at the table. Chuck, you're sitting at the table. Rob, you sign an autograph. Chuck, you sign an autograph. They go over to the Forsaken. She signs an autograph, and if they're wearing a button-down shirt, she bites off all their buttons.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we can get that to work. I think we could get that to work.
It would be interesting if we could.
That'd be a tough act to follow.
But, you know, we just got to figure out, though, what would be a better wrestling theme song for The Forsaken. If it be I Put a Spell on You or one of Matthias' favorites, Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Great White. Nice.
Yeah, that one's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. Rob Kellerman, Chuck Stallone's our guest here. So now let me ask you this, you guys. When you were doing the Sinister Cinema, that's what we're talking about here. If our fans want to check that out and get more information on that project, where would they go? You have a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you guys got for that?
Take it away, Chuck.
Well, if they actually want to watch the show, they would go to Amazon Prime, and they would type in Stroh's Sinister Cinema, and it would come up. We have 3 episodes out, and we'll have the 4th one out next month, I do believe. And they can follow us through, I believe we have 8 of them all together. And they can follow us through Be Your Own Hero Productions on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram.
And and for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Kent FM page like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from a past guest, current guest, and future guest. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe I could probably get a couple autographs from Chuck and Rob, correct? Maybe?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll send you some, and I want to apologize to you publicly. The last time I was on your show, I didn't send you out any pictures, and I apologize, and I swear they're in the mail.
All right. Well, I'll tell you. I know. Well, last time you actually did. You did. I did get some from you in the mail. It said I owe you.
Yeah, you'll be getting another one soon. So just keep your eye out for it.
All right. And
I was going to mention the topic of vampires. I did a horror film that's I think you can watch on Vimeo. Currently it's called Stench of Iniquity, and I portray an ancient vampire named Baba in the film. And it's kind of has those creep show vibes to it. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
So let me ask you this, guys. Do you want to stick around on hold, or do you want to call back when Rob is when Ron is on?
Whichever is cool with you guys.
Well, if you guys want to stay on hold, we got a cool guest calling in here in a little bit. But yeah, if you guys want to hang on, because I we're going to interview Ron, and then we'll bring you guys all on together, and then that's when Chuck and Rob, you guys can tell Mr. Rossman that he should hire me, the Forsaken, and the Nightmare on the next Sinister Project.
I got you, brother.
Yeah, man, great.
You can ask anybody. I look in the mirror. I crack that thing every time I look into it.
Yeah, but if you mute me, I'll stay on. I'm game.
All right. Well, here's what we're gonna do.
Sounds good.
All right. So I'm gonna put you guys on hold, and then I'm gonna take a commercial break, and then our next guest is gonna call in, and then I will introduce you guys after we ask Ron a few questions, and then we'll be back. Okay.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right.
Sounds good.
Well, Forsaken, you guys stick around because we got a few minutes before our next guest calls in, and we'll go to him after the commercial break. But so we can do this for you. If our fans wanted to check out the Forsaken, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, probably everything? What do you got? Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wait. All right, hold on.
I am unmuted.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm here.
So, I'm sorry about that. So if our fans want to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Okay, so in order to find me, it's the Fear of the Forsaken _official. That's my TikTok, my Instagram, my Facebook, my YouTube, and my Twitter. That's everything.
And now, I don't know. I understand that in your modeling career, because you're a successful model and you're a great success story. And I've known you. I don't know. How long have you and I been friends? 5 or 6 years now, I would think.
I think it's 6 years now or five, I believe six.
I think it's at least six, but of course, you can ask the Nightmare there. If you're friends with me, it seems like 100 years, right, Nightmare?
Very true.
Absolutely.
Very, very true.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick little commercial break, and then we'll go to our next guest, and we will be back right after these messages. So stick with us, and we will be right back.
So, if your spring and summer projects include some concrete work, Elevated Concrete can help. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. They are ready right now for any concrete project you have. That's Elevated Concrete at 701-866-9018.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, the actor with the greatest flat top in the history of cinema, ladies and gentlemen, he is Paul Hurley.
Hey, this is Paul Hurley, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Monday on 89.1 KINS FM, with your host, the Icon, and also with the big swing, the modern nightmare, Matthias. What's happening, guys?
Hey, Paul,
wow.
Good to have you with us. I want to introduce you to our celebrity co-host. It's the Forsaken. Say hello.
Hello. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great.
and we have sitting on my left, we have the Nightmare. Say hello.
I'll do my little introduction when it comes to be my time.
All right. Sounds good. So, Paul, it's good to have you with us. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you... you probably know a little bit about Sinister Cinema as well, don't you?
Yes, actually, I am the voice of the projector. I play a poltergeist of a projector, and I narrate the majority of the show.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. This is really interesting because I've actually seen some of your movies.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm just realizing who you are, and I'm just like, wow, it's an honor.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, we've got a couple that just came out. I actually started a production company earlier this past year, and we've just got a picked up worldwide distribution for a film, The Wendigo, and it's out Tubi, Roku. It's streaming everywhere right now. So that's first
the one
out
that
of the
I
gate.
Saw.
Yeah, and we've got five more coming. So.
We just got finished wrapping up
one of our larger films, our full feature, and then we've got an anthology that we're releasing in February, so it'll be out streaming as well.
And if I'm not mistaken, Forsaken, I think one of your favorite movies of his is The Devil's Daughter.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of my first introduction into a full-length feature film, even though it was a fan film. It was still a full feature film, and I just had a small part. It was actually the very second production I had ever been in, and the guy that looked like a big cop, and I was, I know a guy. So,
you play the cop, right?
Right, Gotham City police officer.
Now here's a question for you, and this will kind of be an interesting question. I don't know if you can answer this question or not, but you know how red, white, and blue stands for freedom, right? Unless it's a cop with a flashing light in your rear view
mirror.
Yes, absolutely, guilty until proven innocent. No, I get typecasted a lot as a cop. I've been in security and a bouncer for many years, and I get typecasted a lot as a cop, and I embrace that. You know, it really did help me. So I had started buying accessories after that. I bought a police car. I've dressed it out with all the lights, the gadgets, everything. It's a fully commissioned police car. So it's something you don't want to get caught playing with. But it's an accessory. I'm like Barbie, you know. Come on, I'm coming with the accessories too. So
I totally understand where you're coming from.
Hey Paul, would we be able to let them in on a secret? When I had you dressed up like a cop, and I had you pull over my prom date.
We were actually going to do a gimmick like that for a proposal, for a guy that was going to propose to the girl, you know, but we were going to have him arrested and so on and so forth, while then having dropped to his knees like he's got a weapon, and then we're going to draw down on him, and then he brings out the ring and proposes to her while she thinks he's about to get shot. So, yeah, we played little practical pranks like that before with people that know what's going on, except for one. But, yeah, it's been fun. We have our fun with it.
So here's how we're going to do this, Paul. I'm going to ask you a few more questions, then we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me and we'll ask the tougher questions, and then, of course, we'll have our top of the hour break, and that'll just start automatically. So when you guys hear it, we'll just all kind of be silent, let that top of the hour break play, and then we'll come back and we'll continue. But one thing I do want to ask you about, Paul, is, and we get most of our information here from imdb.com, so if the information is incorrect, you got to fire them. And not our producer who was fired earlier last week. But according to the IMDb, you got a few projects that are either in production or post-production. The Grandstand, My Brother's Keeper, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Two Spiders, Agent Dax, mm-hmm. Memory Card, Angels Missing Wings, Broken Church, and They Are Here. Of course, it says that Broken Church isn't coming out until 2024, and They Are Here isn't coming. Is supposed to be done in 2023. So, is that information accurate, or are they all in post-production, pre-production? Where are they at in those?
Well, Bayer here is in post-production now. It's that one's going to have to require quite a bit more special effects. So I think the pushback release date is right around spring of 2024. We want it out by the end of this year, but it's just not happening. We've got too many irons in the fire, but we don't want to shortchange it by just pushing it out either. I would rather it be delayed and be perfect than be trash. So we're going to spend a little more time with that, but we've got several others coming out. We've got the anthology, which is a collection of horror shorts that we put together. Those will be coming out in February. We're actually doing a private premiere viewing on November 18th in Charlotte at the Arsley Theater. And then, like I said, it'll be out streaming in February of 2024.
That's cool. Paul, I want to introduce you to my first co-host. She's Sophia the Forsaken, and she is a real vampirist. And, you know, she gives Numi the word, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Anyway, now, Paul, in your future projects, I'm sure you might have an opening for a vampirist. So, Forsaken, what do you got for our guest, Paul Harley? Go ahead.
What's been your most favorite, like, do you have a favorite movie that you've done that you really hold dear to you at all?
That's a good one. The one that we just finished filming, My Brother's Keeper, that one really hit home. That one, actually, we feature my son's photo in. My son, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but a lot of people end up going missing, and this is a Bigfoot film, so it's really, we wanted to get back the sheer terrifying nature of Bigfoot, not your Henry and the Hendersons, blah, blah, blah. We wanted fear, and we really think we got it with this one, and just the way the roles played out, and my dog, Eli, my German Shepherd, is also featured in the film, and this is, you know, kind of one of his last ones, his last hurrah. So this one means a little bit. So, yeah.
And Paul, a lot of people don't know, you mentioned a lot of people went missing. I was supposed to, I made a cameo in that film, but I went missing way before the movie started shooting.
It happened.
Wow.
Do you have another question there for a second? Go ahead.
Hold on. You got to give me a second. I got to think real quick. Put me on the spot, Icon. Every time.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to think about your question, we can go to the nightmare here real quick. Paul, I want to introduce you to my other co-host. He is the modern nightmare, Matthias, and he's going to tell you a little bit about himself first.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Why, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed NSC World Tag Team Champion and APW World Heavyweight Champion and soon-to-be NSC World Heavyweight Champion, Rudo's Promotion Intercontinental Champion, APW United States Champion, and why not, let's take the Cruiserweight title, the Women's title, the Hardcore title, and every title that any wrestling promotion could ever have, Matthias. Welcome on my part of the program. Icon kind of covered the things I was already aiming for, and so did the vampires, but my main question to you would be, what is one of your, what genre of film could you watch nonstop, and like you would never get bored of it? What's one of your favorite genres of film?
Violence.
Perfect. would you say, do you have like a favorite subgenre?
Well, I love horror. Our production company targets pretty much horror genres. So, you know, just terrifying, just make your skin crawl and almost nauseously regretting that last bite of Butterfinger.
Perfect. Yeah, all right. So then my question to you would be, since I kind of asked this to the previous guests, if you could put yourself in the shoes of any horror movie villain, preferably for me it would be a slasher villain because slashers are my favorite type of subgenre of film. But for you, if you could put yourself compared to any horror movie villain that you think you compare most to, who do you think it would be and why?
Well, I relate more to the anti-hero, like the Punisher, but if it were a slasher, I would have to go with Jason.
Okay.
I love Michael Strong, but I don't think I could do Michael justice. I'm more of your silent
Freddy
just
Krueger.
Going. Yeah. Krueger, yeah, you know, the burned look just doesn't go for me, you know.
Maybe then, what's that other one? Chucky.
I'm kind of a big guy, you know. I don't relate to the short, you know, miniature.
You could probably probably kick Chucky's butt.
Well,
because you could probably kick him across the room.
Yeah, dropkick him. But yeah, I love horror films, and you know, the gorier, the bloodier, the better, and you know. I kind of stumbled on set with the guys there you were talking to earlier, Chuck and Ron. And, you know, we worked together on The Devil's Daughter. We met with, you know, Ronald Rossman, the director. And, you know, that's how we kind of got introduced. That was my second project. And
we have Ron Rossman coming on in about 20 minutes. I know that you're a busy guy, and I know I told you I was only going to keep you for a half an hour, but after we talk to Ron a little bit and we bring the other guys on, can you stick around and we can have a party real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. We got powwow. Those are my guys.
All right, cool. Now, I got to ask you real quick, and we're just waiting for our top of the hour commercial here. We'll start up here in just a little bit. I'm going to fill time until then. So one other thing I do want to ask you, you know, you mentioned you're kind of a big guy. I believe you're like, what, you stand like 6'7" and 147 pounds, something like that?
No, I'm closer to about 6'1", 230 pounds.
And no one messes with you on set, do they?
No, pretty much no. I bounced a lot at nightclubs for a long time, and I played semi-pro football until I was 38. So I've always been kind of a stocky build.
Now he already knows what it is. He already knows what it is.
Well, you mentioned, and I want to after the next commercial break, I want to talk to you a little bit about your football career a little bit too. We're just gonna cover everything. We have Paul Hurley who's our guest here. We got about 15 minutes here left before the main event, as you would say, calls in, and we have the Modern Nightmare here with us, and we have Saphir the Forsaken, the lovely vampirist with us. And unfortunately, you guys have to put up with me. As you can see, my self-esteem is really high. Forsaken, we were talking about your theme song earlier. I guess if you were to say my theme song would be, "Here's my number, call me maybe." Anyway, so we're here on 89.1 Keds FM, and we're just having a party tonight. The Sinister Cinema Group is here with us, and we're about a week and a day from Halloween. That's why we decided to book all these guys. And like I say, we're going to continue to have a little fun. So
thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM. Listener-supported radio, so the programming you hear on our station is funded by our members and these local and area businesses.
The Joe Irby Law Firm is a proud sponsor of 89.1 Kens FM. We're located at 403 Center Avenue, Suite 409 in Moorhead, Minnesota. We focus on business startups, business litigation, criminal defense, family matters, and contract writing and review. More information is available by calling 1-866-933-4544 or on the website at joeirbylaw.com. That's joeirbylaw.com. The Joe Irby Law Firm, where we take sides, yours.
You're listening to 89.1 Kens FM, KNNZ FM, Holly, Fargo, Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo, Moorhead, and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
And we are back here on 89.1 Kens FM, and we have the giant Paul Hurley here. Now you kind of transitioned a little bit into what the next thing I was going to ask about. You played football. Who did you play for, and what was your position, and what was your jersey number?
Oh well, my jersey number was 55. I played for the Charlotte Falcons. It was a semi-pro league. I played defensive end. And we were scouted by the Baltimore Ravens scout on the first game that we had in Nashville, and that was in 2011. The NFL was actually about to go on strike. It was just like living that movie, The Replacement. So, I mean, everybody in the semi-pro and in the arena ball area were putting together and trying to narrow down the best players and team to put together for a replacement for the NFL if they did go through with the strike. So we actually got to live that little bit of the moment, and then, of course, they walked across the line and ended the strike right before all our hopes and dreams got crushed. But, you know, we had a great time. It was a heck of a way to go out and just release a lot of stress and not have to worry about going to jail.
And, Matthias, I don't know what I'm thinking, didn't you do a little semi-pro football?
Yes, as a matter of fact, in 2019, I played for the Fargo Invaders. I played for a couple of years, but for the main year in 2019 is my first starting year, and I played offensive guard and tackle, and I was number 69, my jersey number.
And didn't a lot of people like to call you Billy Bob?
Well, you know, people could call me whatever they could or whatever they wanted to, but they can just call me champion because in 2019 we won the NEFL championship against our rival, the Sioux City Stampede, and then we went on to U.S. Bank Stadium and we beat the Fox Valley Force there in our pigskin invite. So that was fun. That was a great year for our team.
And you and I both have the rings to prove that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. And I took number 69. Honestly, because Brock Lesnar, a professional wrestler, used to, when he played for the Minnesota Vikings on the pickup team before unfortunately got cut, he didn't actually get to play for the actual team. But when he played for the squad on preseason games, he was number 69. And, of course, Jared Allen was one of the Vikings players, so number 69 on the defensive side. So, you know, I admire the Vikings. Vikings are my favorite team, and, you know, if I could match up the number a couple of times. I mean, I wasn't running back, so I wasn't going to take Michael Bennett at 23, so I had to do something, so I picked 69 on the line.
And here's something interesting. The Vikings are a favorite team. Did you know the Vikings are playing tonight, Matthias?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
22-17 Minnesota. By the way, what other wrestler played for the Minnesota Vikings?
It was Brock Lesnar and, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Who was it? It wasn't Goldberg. It wasn't Roman Reigns.
Yes, it was.
It was Roman Reigns?
Yeah, he wore 69 as well for the Vikings.
Yes, that's right. He got out of Florida. He was Florida State, right?
Yep.
And then he went to Minnesota. Yes, that's right. He was also on the practice squad before getting cut.
Yep. Apparently, the Vikings don't want wrestlers. They want athletes. Anyway, let's get back to our guest here. I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to take away from your time. We got Paul Hurley as our guest here. We got about 13 minutes here with you before Mr. Rossman calls in, and you're going to hang with us through that. And then we're going to bring all the Sinister Cinema main cast members here. As a matter of fact, they're on hold, and I'm sure they're chomping a bit to get back. But one thing I do want to ask about real quick is you're actually, if this is true, are you not Paul Hurley the Eighth?
I have no idea why that abbreviation came out that way, but no, there are several Pauls in my family, my father, my brother. I have an uncle named Paul as well, but I don't know why the Eighth thing popped up there. It's very taxing sometimes when I have to explain that, because that really puts me on the spot. I'm like, I have no idea why it popped up, but no, it was interesting though, growing up in a household where there were so many Pauls. So, you know, there was that experience. It was
You want to know how you can make that worth, how you can use that to your advantage, the A thing on imbdb.com? You know how you can use that to your advantage?
How's that?
My grandfather knew Hermits real well, and he inspired Henry the Eighth. I am.
Hey, you know, if it works, right? No, I don't know why that popped up on.
I almost married Mrs. Brown's lovely daughter.
Right.
Anyway, Paul Hurley is our guest here. So we're going to talk a little bit more about some of my favorite projects of yours that I really, really enjoy. The first one I want to talk about is the one that's coming up. I believe it's a post-production. If I'm not mistaken, you play the Punisher. And I admit I am a comic book geek. And, of course, I do believe the first Punisher ever played was by he played Mickey Mantle in the movie 61, Nightmare. Can you help me out? Thomas Jane was the original Punisher. Tell us, how did you get the role as the Punisher?
Actually, that's incorrect. The first Punisher was Dolph Lundgren, and that was in, I believe, 1986. After that, it was the most commonly known as Thomas Jane, and that was, I believe, in 89, maybe 92-ish. And Thomas Jane did a phenomenal job as the Punisher. He was probably the best Punisher to date. I loved Ray Stevens. Don't get me wrong, Punisher Warzone, phenomenal actor. May his soul rest in peace. He was a phenomenal actor, hell of a guy. But no, playing that part, it was fun. We actually did a short that's on YouTube as a prequel to the one that hasn't come out yet, so you can actually see that on YouTube if you want to look it up. It's The Castles, and so it's kind of a prequel. Did all the stunt stuff here myself. Got thrown through a table. It was great. The bad guy in that little short that we did is a martial arts instructor. Has his own studio and what have you in Myrtle Beach. He's actually a law enforcement officer, so he's the real deal, hand-to-hand combat. And it was an honor getting thrown through a table and across the room by him. So it was fun. We had a blast. And it's available on YouTube.
I hate to admit this, but, Forsaken, did you know that you're the only one on this panel and of all the guests tonight that has not been thrown through a table?
I don't think I've ever been thrown through a table, no.
I have. Matthias has. Mr. Hurley has. I know the brothers, Sinister, have been all thrown through tables. And, maybe, I don't know if Ron Rossman has, but we'll have to ask him. Paul Hurley's our guest here. We got, I got about 7 minutes here before Ron calls in. But, you know, the other cool thing, I don't know if you knew this or not, Paul, but the reason why Thomas Jane is so loved here in my hometown of Fargo, North Dakota, is he did play Mickey Mantle in the movie 61, which was about Roger Maris, who, of course, is from Fargo, North Dakota, and everybody knows it's about the 61 season and the home run race, where all the odds were against Roger. I don't know if have you ever seen the movie?
No, I have not.
I definitely recommend seeing it. It is awesome. And the one thing about Thomas Jane, I don't know if you knew this or not, when he was cast as Mickey Mantle, you know one thing about Thomas Jane that no one knew when he was cast is he had never ever played baseball one day in his life. Can you believe that? An American boy growing up not ever playing one bit of baseball. Can you imagine that?
That is hard to
imagine.
Wow. Did you know that Thomas Jane loved The Punisher so much that he actually did a short as a tribute to The Punisher? It's also available on YouTube. It's called The Punisher Dirty Laundry. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's about a 15-minute short. It's very enjoyable. Thomas Jane really did it phenomenally well. I believe Ron Perlman's also in it. It's not very well known, but it should be. It's a really well done short.
So, how many projects do you have waiting in the wings for you right now?
Oh, I've got about 7. We're going to be doing a full-length feature in January. I think we're going to start kind of some pre-production in December with Ronald Rossman. It's a very large film that I hope he gets to talk about when he gets up here. But I'm very excited about it. I know Chuck's going to be pretty excited about it. We both play, I think, some pretty large roles in that film. And I think he's really going to enjoy telling you all about it. So I'm going to save that for him. But we've got some irons in the fire, and everything looks really good as far as staying busy.
So you mentioned this is going to be a big production. Do you know, and you said you're going to start doing that in January. And when he comes on, we're definitely going to ask him about that. I'm wondering, so has all the cast and everything been I guess we should ask him, but you've obviously worked with Mr. Rossman before, and let me tell you something about Ron. Of all the, and I'm not taking away from any other director that we've been on thing, but let me tell you about Ron. He's one of those guys that I could call him up at 2 a.m, and he won't yell at me. He'll tell me to call him back, but he won't yell or anything like some of the other guests have, because I have no idea what a time zone is. I'll admit that freely. That's why I've always made sure that I knew exactly what time zone you were in, Paul, because you're bigger than me, and I wouldn't want to get thrown by through a table from you or drop kick like Chucky.
No, we don't want to do that. But no, I really enjoy working with Ron on every project that we've gotten involved with. We do a lot of charity work as well, and volunteer work. We do a lot of Batman impersonations and what have you, so a lot of cosplay, stuff like that with the kids at the hospitals. And
I love cosplay.
So we go and do that as often as we can. I'll actually be Batman in the Charlotte Parade on November 22nd. That'll be on TV, so in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the Thanksgiving Christmas Parade.
And I'm not saying this because you're obviously going to be a better Batman than the guy from Twilight.
Well, I'm going to say I would probably, you know, I wish I could measure up to Ben Affleck's Batman. He is 6'4". You know, he's got a couple inches on me, but he's, you know, that's the actual Batman suit that I have. Ronald Rossman makes a phenomenal Batman. So we've got two of our Batmans covered. But none of us happen to be real big fans of the werewolf guy, so, or vampire guy.
I'm sure you can send your hate tweets now. Everybody knows how to tweet me. But to me, the best Batmans will always be Adam West and Michael Keaton and Paul Hurley.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll go with that.
I agree with Michael Keaton for sure, but I did like Christian Bale's as well. Because I love Heath Ledger as a Joker.
Christian.
What?
Yeah. And Heath Ledger was a phenomenal Joker. So was Jack Nicholson.
Yes, so was Jack Nicholson.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yes, Heath Ledger was a much better, and I'm going to get more hate tweets, I know, but to me, Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson were the Joker.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix was not. That was the worst.
I don't like Joaquin Phoenix's.
Well,
I don't either.
On it. That was more of a psychological, mental breakdown of society versus more of a theatrical, you know, showmanship.
Yeah.
And Real quick here, I believe our next guest, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, then we'll go to the main event. But one thing I do got to ask to the Forsaken, if I'm correct in saying this, you love cosplay, don't you?
I do. I've done many cosplays. My favorite has been Pennywise.
And I also like when you do Princess Leia.
I haven't done Princess Leia yet.
Oh, really? I guess that was just my wild fantasy. Anyway, we're going to take a quick...
Whoopsie.
We're going to take a quick little commercial break. We'll be back after these messages for our main event, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Help KENZ FM by donating today. It's really easy. Just go to KENZFM.com and click the donate button. It will take you through our PayPal system. You can choose to make a one-time donation or become a member for as little as $10 a month. Plus, if you click on the merch tab on the right side, there are t-shirts you can buy, bumper stickers, and decals, and CDs of homegrown rock and roll, and also a KENZ FM clock. But make sure that you help support KENZ FM. This is the only way we can raise money. We can't sell commercials. Your donation goes entirely to pay our overhead bills, like electricity, internet, and various fees and insurances. Donate today. Our future relies on your support. Thanks.
And stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is the main event of the night, and we're going to bring the rest of his crew on after we talk to this man, one of the most awesome directors in history in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you at this time, he is our Rossman. He is Ronald Rossman.
Hey, this is Ron Rossman. You're listening to the Attitude Error Monday Live Monday on 89.1 KENZ FM with your host, the icon, the big swing, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
Hey, Mr. Rossman, how are you, sir? Good to have you with us.
I am doing great. I don't know if I can live up to that introduction, but I am doing awesome. Thanks for having me back.
Well, yes, and as a matter of fact, you're now part of the Third Timers Club, and I want to introduce you to our guest co-host, and we're going to try and get her a job and get me a job when we're done here. Say hello, Forsaken. Go ahead, introduce yourself. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Having some technical difficulty. Okay, now, Forsaken, go ahead and introduce yourself. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Sophia the Forsaken. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Pleasure to purchase.
What was that?
I said pleasure to virtually meet you. I don't know, I got muted for a second there.
I know, I was like, it's nice to meet you too. Well, I don't know what just happened here.
Well, I think what's happening is the computer was flickering here just a second ago, and I tried to get it back, and I may have hit the wrong button. But anyway, let's continue here. We have Ron Rossman as our guest here on 89.1 KENZ FM. We got 38 minutes here before our before we're done here. We're going to ask you a few questions, Ron, and then we're going to bring on some of your favorite some of your favorite co-stars, I guess you could say. So how are you, Ron? Give us a little introduction about yourself real quick.
I'm doing great. Since last time we talked, we've got episode 3 of Stroh's Sinister Cinema up on Amazon Prime. So we're excited about that. Episode 4 has just completed post-production, should be up next month. And as Paul said earlier, we're getting everything ready for Your It, our feature-length film that will be starting filming in January. Also just finished a short film that's part of a horror anthology called Book of Fate. It's called Rescue. We hope to get that up on Film Hub next month as well. And I've got a publisher interested in publishing one of my novels. So I haven't got a full update on that yet, but a lot of good things happening all at once. So very, very grateful.
Well, would you be willing to come back on when your novel comes out and promote that?
I'd be willing to come back on any time you want to have me, Scott. I am yours.
And one thing I, you know, you mentioned that you're going to have a horror film trilogy. Are you looking for a vampire? Because I have the perfect vampires here that would be perfect for a role like that.
Actually, with the Book of Fate anthology, we're actually looking at one of the short films being about a vampire. So that might be very intriguing.
Interesting.
What do you think, Forsaken? Would you be down to be in a feature film with our buddy Ron Rossman?
I mean, I wouldn't be against it. I mean, I haven't done a movie in a while. It's been a couple of years.
And I know that you'd worry. Don't worry. I'll come down to the set, too. I'll be your bodyguard. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Man, I noticed that you go to a lot of Comic-Cons.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was tricking me. Yes, I actually do.
Yeah.
We actually do about...
I'm sorry, my bad. Yes. Do you go to a lot of Comic-Cons?
Yeah, we do. I think Forsaken, we do about 12 a year right now. I'm hoping to up that once we get the feature-length film out, because I'd like to do some more horror cons. But
we
do about 12 a year.
That's really crazy, because I've only been to, like, one, and it was, like, the most best experience I've ever had in my life. I met some actors that are still really cool with me to this day, and like I've always wanted to put my own booth in a Comic-Con and like just sell my pictures and chill and like enjoy all the costumes, and everybody's so creative at those things. I swear, like, people are amazing.
It's a great community. It really is. It's
I mean, that one girl, I don't
network.
Know if you sorry go right ahead
right. No, go ahead. No, go ahead. What were you saying? What
I don't know if any. I don't know if any of you guys saw that one girl who did the Lilith costume from Diablo, but oh my gosh, fantastic!
Yeah, I have seen her. I think she's on TikTok, isn't she?
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a great environment. It's a great way to network. It's a great way to promote because you're reaching out directly to your demographic. We do a lot of stuff with the cosplay contests for certain cons. And it's really cool to see people bring their A games for those and get a chance to shine. Most cosplayers are introverts, so cosplay is an avenue for them to express themselves in a way that they normally couldn't. So I'm a real big supporter of positive cosplay.
That's really cool. I actually, as a matter of fact, am getting my next cosplay worked on. I'm going to be doing Queen of the Damned, so that's my next biggest one, and I'm pretty excited.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great choice there.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's my bad. She's the reason why I became a vampire. And it's really funny because people are like, those teeth are fake. And I'm like, no. No, these are not cosplay fangs. These are like actual fangs. And it freaks people out sometimes. It's so funny to see everybody's reaction.
So you got the actual surgical filing done?
Yes, I got, they cannot come out, the dentist says, they're like crowns, they're under my gums and everything, they're glued in, but I did get my other one shaved down.
So now, Ron, you know that you'd want to cast her in your next project, in Sinister Cinema, when you do the next season.
Absolutely, no, for something like with Forsaken, since she's really dedicated to that lifestyle, is we've been working on a vampire story. I've always wanted to do a vampire. I have two. I have one written already. But I've always wanted to do a vampire story from the perspective of the vampire and their kind of look at life and humanity as a whole. I know that's been done before, but I'd like to do it with a very modern twist. It's kind of the burden of immortality. You know, Interview with a Vampire did a really good job with it. But I think it could be played upon even more. Because we had done a story one time about how immortal beings were suffering from the same maladies as humans, like PTSD, depression, and them being immortal just amplified those conditions. And it was a really good story. So I'd like to go that route again.
That sounds interesting.
So what do you think, Forsaken? Would you be down to be in that?
I mean, I'd want to read the script and everything, but yes, I'm so totally down.
Of course.
I've only
Ron
been
Ross
in a couple movies.
And you were the reason why they were successful, too. Don't forget to mention that.
Yes.
Ron Rossman is our guest here. We got about 30 minutes here. So here's the reason why we're talking, we brought you back on here, Ron, is we'll talk to you about some of your other projects. But our buddy, Paul, kind of mentioned that you have a big production coming up. And could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, that's Your It. And that spawned from a conversation I had with the executive producer, who's a very good friend of mine, Greg Bo Watson, who's a Marvel illustrator. He's worked for Zenoscope. He's worked for Strange Pictures of Fox. He did some artwork for The Watchmen. We were watching the movies that made us and the Halloween version, and or the episode, I should say. And I said to him, I really wish that horror films would get back to the basics that Carpenter had developed, because that film launched 1,000 Machetes. And we started talking, and we came up with this idea for a slasher film that goes back to those kind of that structure, where instead of gore porn, it's a true psychological thriller. You really feel a connection to characters. The killer is actually frightening because people become so desensitized now to everything. And so we started building this story, and then we made it a little meta. So it's a horror film within a horror film, to pay homage to films like Scream. Our killer is very sophisticated, so he's kind of a mix between Jason and Saw. So we put all those ideas together, and, yeah, we came up with a really cool idea. We found a phenomenal location, Lake Hickory Haunts, in Lake Hickory, North Carolina, just one of the premier haunt attractions in the Carolinas. There, we're filming entirely there. So these folks are trapped in this haunted house, and they're being hunted by a real killer. But there's a tremendous backstory. We wanted to make the characters likable, so when and if they die, you actually felt some sort of connection with them. We wanted to humanize them, which is tough to do in a 90-minute film, but it can be done. So I'm really proud of this. And I'm not a slasher fan. I feel like it's been overdone. But I love Halloween. I love John Carpenter. So I really wanted to kind of give it my take. I don't like to say reboot or refresh. That's very arrogant. It's just kind of our take on it, and hopefully audiences will enjoy it. But we start filming in January. We've got two Walking Dead alumni in it, Santiago Cirillo and Amber Dawn Fox. Chuck's in it. He has a main part. Paul has a main part. We've got a phenomenal new final girl named Amy Coates, who's absolutely awesome. Greg Bo's in it. He plays one of the police commissioners. So it's and Chuck plays kind of the doctor character, but he's an FBI agent instead. Paul plays the kind of jaded, grungy kind of police detective. So it's got a lot of really cool aspects.
And we're gonna bring all the boys that are on hold here. Just hang on. We're gonna go to you after Matthias. He is also our horror film guru. And I know that Matthias, I know that you would love to work for Mr. Rossman as well. What do you have for our guest? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed NSC World Tag Team Champion and APW World Heavyweight Champion, and soon again to be NSC World Heavyweight Champion, Rudo's Promotion Intercontinental Champion, and All Out Pro Wrestling United States Champion, Matthias, welcome onto my part of the program. Yes, as Icon did say, I'm a big fan of horror movies, and I guess I'll ask the same question I've been kind of asking around tonight, because I thought it was quite an interesting one. So if you could compare yourself in any way to a slasher villain, or a horror movie villain, could be slasher, could be psychological, could be anything, who would you say you compare most to and why?
Oh, wow. Dang.
Talk about a loaded question.
I don't know which one I compare it to, because I'm kind of a wuss. When I was a kid, I was terrified of horror, every kind of horror, and I grew out of that by writing horror. So I think if I wanted to be one of those characters, it'd probably be Chris Sarandon's version of the vampire in Fright Night. He was just total badass. So I think that would be the killer that I would like to emulate as far as his personality. But I think that people would probably say if I was to become a serial killer, probably I don't remember is the character's name, so I don't really watch the series. But I guess the Saw character, because I believe in justice and I believe people should get their comeuppance, and I believe in karma. So I think that would be the other choice.
Yeah, that's exactly what I like to compare myself to, because, of course, I like when people get their comeuppance for doing something wrong to somebody. And I think Jigsaw definitely had it right when, you know, he would take the worst of humanity and they put them in a trap where they could redeem themselves or put them in a game of some sort and make them redeem themselves from who they used to be and try to instantly rehabilitate them. And he would give them a chance, and he wouldn't just, you know, they and the people who did not have the will to live, of course, would, you know, fail their test. And, of course, it wouldn't be his fault because he just put them in the test and they failed it. But I'll have to, I got to ask this question, too, since you did bring up Saw. Have you seen the new Saw film, Saw X?
My daughter did. I've seen some commentaries on it. Okay, so, yeah, I definitely am not going to spoil for a second. I've just heard, and this is strictly opinion, that it's disappointing. Here's the problem with sequels. They shouldn't be made. So, and I'm probably going to be a hypocrite when as I start to progress in my films, but Halloween, awesome movie. Halloween 2 ended up being kind of the gore porn version. Saw the first one, absolutely epic, never been thought of before, phenomenal new take on horror. Now it's been overdone. Final Destination, same thing. Chucky, same thing. So I just think when you run that many sequels, you dilute it to a point where, and again, adding into the fact that people are so desensitized, you kind of lose the luster of it. So you, in horror, you've got to be real careful by doing that. I know it's a money grab. I totally get that. I'm a capitalist. But I do think that you it's kind of like pouring water on a watercolor painting. The image may still be there, but it starts to run, and you lose all the crispness, all the beauty of it, and all you're left is kind of a shadow of itself.
I will have to. I mean, when I mentioned I did see Saw X, and with it being a prequel between what happened between Saws 1 and 2, I honestly enjoyed it because it was a different taste from what we're used to in the Saw films. I mean, in my opinion, I think Saw has one of the best storylines going for it because, you know, it's still been able to continue compared to where, like, you know, Jason comes back, kills some people, and then he gets killed. Or Chucky comes back to life and then does his thing and then dies. Like, these people come back and they eventually just die in the end. Well, this movie, Saw X, is all about John Kramer and his initial finding out of his cancer and stuff like that and how he does the surgery and this kind of thing. And then it leads into his most personal game. So it's a big difference compared to the original Saw films that we're used to seeing, where it's nothing but gory traps, blood, guts, that kind of thing. It's more of a based on John Kramer kind of thing. And it's more focused on him. So it was definitely a more welcoming taste compared to the older Saw films that we're used to. But, I mean, I don't know where they'll go from there. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. But there is a special credit scene at the end that you'll have to see. I will not give away spoilers. But I think there will be at least one more film, and I sure hope so, because Tobin Bell, being at the age he is, he really made John Kramer real in this last one.
Yeah, he did.
Because with him looking the way he is, and with him, of course, his character having cancer, it looks like he's, you know, withering away slowly. Not trying to insult Tobin Bell, but he made John Kramer look absolutely fantastic, and he is the main point of this film, so I give him kudos for that. And they didn't just go, oh, we're going to put him in an hour-long game and see how much blood we can spill.
I do have something to say.
Go ahead.
I have something to say about the new Chucky seasons that came out. They are actually very, very good. And I'm a very, like, I love the classics. Okay, when I say classics, I was born in the 90s. So, obviously, it was, you know, after the 80s and stuff. But I'm really into Chucky. I'm into the Freddy. I'm into the Jason, the Scream, Saw, all that, too. But you know how you were saying how they got to, you know, if you keep doing it, it's like overdoing it. It's too much. It's not the same. You know, what they're doing now with a lot of the horror movies. But the thing about the new Chucky series is they kept the same people. They kept Jennifer Tilly. They kept the daughter. They kept Brad Dourif. They never stirred away from that, and they even explained more of the story. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the new Chucky series, but I highly recommend it.
I have.
But.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say I like how they're continuing it with Chucky, like you said, the details and stuff. I will agree with the guest on in regards to the Halloween stuff. I did not like Halloween Ends. There's a lot of series of horror that could have died well ahead of
before
it continued.
Either. I didn't like the Halloween just, either.
It was ridiculous. Like I'll say in the end there, when everybody wanted to see the big Laurie and Michael clash, it was the ultimate build up, and it was a 2-minute squash match, and Michael dies. Like it was just the stupidest end, and I was in the theater opening night for it, and the amount of disappointment I could just feel in the room was just was just something else. And Chucky, go ahead.
It's just like with me, I could never picture anybody else. Like, I know a lot of people didn't like Freddy, but, like, Robert Englund to me was Freddy. I can't picture anybody else as him.
Absolutely. Like, the 2010 sequel, pointless. Pointless.
Horrible. Horrible.
Ron Rossman's our guest here on 89.1 Kids FM, so we can do this here, and then we'll get back to you guys in a second. But I'm going to bring Ron. I'm going to bring on the entire crew here. A couple guys you might know, three guys to be exact. We have a couple guys here that you might know. One is named Paul Hurley. Another is Rob Kellum. And another is Chuck Salone. Are you guys back with us?
Yes. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Rob. How are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Blessed to be here.
We're all here.
And, okay, so let's talk a little bit about this, guys. And, Matthias, I'm going to leave your mic live here. And, Forsaken, your mic is live as well. So we're all going to talk about this. The reason why we got you guys all here is a strong cinema, sinister cinema. And now, let me ask you this, Ron. When did you first come up with the idea for this?
So I didn't come up with the idea. Rob was making the transition more and more from wrestling to acting. And Rob had shared with me that his dream, and we were just having a casual conversation, was to be a horror host. He loved Elvira, loved Svengali, and really wanted to take that turn. And what he was doing was a kind of an abridged version of it on Facebook by introducing, you know, royalty-free YouTube movies. And again, Greg Bo and I were talking, and I said, I want to do something for Rob, because he was in Dusk, he was in The Devil's Daughter. I want to do something very Rob-centric. And so talked about the idea. We brought Chuck in, and through different conversations and transformations, Stroh's Sinister Cinema was born. And Rob's one condition was he wanted to ad lib it. He wanted the skit to be strictly off the cuff because of his wrestling background, Chuck's wrestling background. They're very good at ad libbing. And so we built that, and it was great. But Rob had this idea, which was very noble, of he wanted to bring these horror movies to the next generation. And the problem we hit was the kids don't care. Everything is short media format. Nobody cares about the Universal Monsters, which basically birthed all of horror. And so we had to figure out a way to respect the movies but also keep the interest. And so we brought Paul in, which was my wife's idea, and Paul became the poltergeist, the projector, so he could comment in the movie. And then we eventually, because Chuck plays a werewolf, so he has keen hearing, we brought Chuck in to by the third episode where he could hear Paul, and they can go back and forth, so we create that banner. And that's where Stroh was born. And Rob and I picked the movies. They were some of his favorites. Of course, it's tough to find all royalty-free, but we found it. And then we were very blessed to have Amazon say, yeah, we want to have it on our network. And so it was born. I wish we'd get the episodes out sooner, but I'm a perfectionist, so I want to make sure that each episode is perfect, not to honor all the actors involved, but to really give a good performance and also to honor Rob. So I think it's been a success. We haven't got the traction yet. I want to, but we were just featured in Atlas Obscura in an article for them, and they put us in the same category as Elvira, Svengali, Joe Bob Briggs. That's a huge thing when you're a first-year horror series and you're being put in the same conversation as those icons. So I think we've got a real promising track, and we're going to have a season two as well. And with season two, we're going to go more we're going to have less of the movies we're making fun of and more of the content, which people like, which is the interaction of the stars, almost like a modern take on the Munsters. So we'll see how that works out for season two.
Stroh Sinister Cinema is our guest here. We got Paul Hurley, Rob Kellum, Chuck Stallone, and Ron Rossman. We got about 15 minutes here. Now, you mentioned that there's going to be a second season, and I cannot wait for this. And if we can find a way to get you guys all back for that. And let me ask you this. You have 6 episodes, I do believe, in season 1. How many episodes do you want in season 2?
We actually have 7. Season 1. We had 8, but we lost some footage, which is heartbreaking, so that one will move over to 2. I'm thinking about 8 right now, 8 episodes. That's typically the binge level where people are comfortable. And then depending on the popularity and the growth, we may go longer, but I like the 8-episode binge-worthy kind of, because each episode runs 45 to an hour. So I think that's a safe place to be in the streaming world right now.
You know, and, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to ask for a job here, Ron, but you know I am because you know me. And I'd like to bring my friends with maybe if we could work it out, maybe we could I could bring the Nightmare. You can have me, and I'll bring the Forsaken as our favorite vampires. Maybe we could be on, like, the last episode of season 2.
I've already, since we talked this last time, I've already outlined the episode that I'm going to have you guys in. So I just got to find the right film to complement it, but you'll definitely be in season 2, without a doubt. Plane tickets
awesome.
And all.
And, Paul, when I'm on set, do you think you and I can hang out together and maybe get in your squad car and go arrest people?
We will have a good time, I assure you.
Paul
and,
usually
puts pressure
to his trailer, so we don't. Paul, once he gets his egos to his trailer, he only wants green M&Ms. We have to get sparkling water for him. It's still difficult.
Oh, man.
Right,
hey, I got an idea.
Right.
Hey, and then Nightmare, would you be down for this? We could have a, on the weekend, we could have a wrestling match with you versus the Maestro and Chuck Stallone. We could have like a fatal three-way, and I'd be the special guest referee, and we could have the Forsaken as the guest ring bell gal, and we could have Ron as the ring announcer. What do you think to entertain the people on the set?
That'd be something.
That'd
I'd
be slobber knocker.
I think Forsaken should be wrestling, too. I think I'd like to see her take it to you guys down. That'd be awesome.
I'll be the ring girl.
Yeah, Paul would make a better ring girl. Paul, he's sexy.
That
I'm
would be
telling.
Fun
Paul
to see.
I would give you green M&Ms.
There you go.
You know, I got
if he gets the green M&Ms, I want the red ones.
Okay.
Oh. One thing we... Ron, one thing I do want to, you know, and this is going to be awesome, and we are going to love to do this with you, but one thing about the Forsaken, though, she is, when it comes, Forsaken, now don't take this the wrong way, but you are definitely a cosplay goddess. There ain't nothing that you don't look good in that you dress up in. Let me ask you this, Ron, if you were to want her to dress up in something, what would it be?
Not knowing the Forsaken too well, that's a tough question. One of my favorite female horror cosplays is probably Carrie. So I've seen one young lady do an amazing Carrie. I think when that cosplay is pulled off, it's just absolutely visceral when people see it.
Well, and, I like Carrie blood, so that's no problem.
Yeah, she could be like the Blood Girl or something. The Blood Girl from Aisle 4.
Yeah.
We have Strokes from the System as our guest here. We have Ron Rossman, Paul Hurley, Rob Kellum, and Chuck Salone. Now, you guys obviously had a lot of fun doing this, and there's going to be a season 2. And you guys are going to be on Amazon Prime. Let me ask you guys this. If our fans want to check that out on Amazon Prime, do they just type in Stroh's Sinister Cinema and all the episodes are there? Or do they have to type up a few different things?
No, just type in Stroh's Sinister Cinema and make sure you spell it correctly. It's S-I-N-I-S-T-E-R-S-I-N-E-M-A. And all three episodes are on there. Like I said, the fourth episode will be going up next month. It's Gamera. Gamera. I think I said it was Gamera. Chuck and Rob managed to butcher the name multiple times, which is part of the comedy. But I think it's Gamera, King of Monsters. And we actually have a really cool character that's an abnormal adolescent semi-coordinated tortoise. And Faisal, who did the soundtrack for How to Train Your Dragon, the series, he actually did the theme song for that character. So we're really proud of that, and it's hilarious. If you grew up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you're going to get a kick out of Clarence Adams being that character. He's Alfredo. So it's amazing.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Ron, Chuck and Clarence were amazing. Yeah, the chemistry between the three of them during that episode was absolutely... I got to tell you, Scott, we were good at getting takes, but we had more takes ruined by everybody laughing at what Rob and Chuck and everyone was doing because we were prepared for it. They had an outline. Here's what you do. And they made up all the dialogue. And literally there were points where we ruined takes because we just couldn't stop laughing at what they were doing on camera. So it was a lot
Then I'll tell you what then. Imagine what will happen when the icon walks onto that set.
I'm sure it'll be amazing. Legendary.
Do you have 700 feet of film?
We do it digital now, so we're good. We're good.
Okay, all right.
I know how much ice cream it takes to do an episode.
You know, one of my heroes, not only is it Sven Gulli, but, and of course, when I was, how old was I? I believe I was 7 years old. When I met Elvira at I can't remember what event it was at, but I was like completely mesmerized by her, and she wasn't very nice to me, but now as an adult I understand why, because when you're 7 years old you do not ask a horror film goddess out on a date when you're 7 years old. I realize that now. But you know, when in Fargo, North Dakota, here, we you know, a lot of towns have horror film movie guys. Like ours was Mad Frank. Do you remember Mad Frank Nightmare?
Rings a bell, but not too related.
Well, anyway, he used to be on Channel 15.
Oh, okay.
On Friday nights and then Saturday mornings. And one of the they used to do all this crazy, wacky stuff, like kind of like what you guys do. You know, they used to have like these bad one-liners that I'm famous for. But you know, I think that one thing that's really cool about Stroh's Sinister Cinema is, you know, you guys can come on set, do your project, and you still have fun. It doesn't always have to be serious all the time. You, Ron, you make it a fun atmosphere on set, right?
I try, but I mean that's the actors. I mean, they're the ones that bring the energy, flesh out the characters. And when they're having a good time, it's contagious. Chuck is absolutely one of my favorites on set because half the stuff, I think Paul will agree with me, I think most of the stuff that we've used for Chuck is actually bloopers of Chuck. I think that the bloopers from Chuck actually make better footage than when we get the stuff that we watch. So Chuck's just naturally funny. He has that gift. And you know, they say comedy is dying is easy, comedy is hard. That's absolutely true, especially in this day and age with cancel culture. So these guys pull some stuff off. And then let me tell you something, Scott. When Pop, when we do the commentary, we actually watch the film, do a brainstorming session, write down the jokes, and then the guys then record it. And it's tough. Doing riff tracks and Mystery Science Theater 2000, it's tough to come up with jokes, period, that are funny, but also jokes that are not going to be offensive, but are still going to be funny, and that play to the film and don't disrespect the film. There's a lot of moving parts. And I think the least fun part is that part of it only because we don't get to enjoy what we're doing as much, but when it comes to the skit, that's absolutely, it's bonkers. It's chaos. It's Jumanji. I love it. I try to keep the sets light. I try to be a director that listens to my actors. I try to be a director that shows respect on every set I work on. I've been in management for 30 years. I've always been a servant leader, lead by example. I try to make sure that everyone feels comfortable. They know about their characters. They feel free to come to me to discuss what they like and don't like. And that's just the kind of director I want to be. And I think the cast have reacted that positively. I also have done a real good job of, not to toot my horn, but of putting the right people together. I mean, Paul started out as a cop in The Devil's Daughter. I wish he was actually Batman in The Devil's Daughter after getting to know him, but Paul's a star. Paul's a star now, and I'm not blowing smoke. Paul is a star now. Paul is a Bruce Willis. Paul is a Tom Cruise. And he's building that reputation. And so with your writ, we really wanted to spotlight on there. Amy Cote, who plays the final girl, she's a star. Angel Bradford, who was in Rescue, she's a star. We've got some really talented people that, because the industry is so competitive, it's hard to get your break out there. So if I can be a stepping stone to that, if the one thing, Scott, that I have in my legacy is that I helped a Paul or an Angel or a Chuck get to where they want to be, and that's the only accomplishment I make, that's a legacy that I'm really happy with. So I've been really blessed to have an amazing staff, amazing cast, and they make it fun. They make it enjoyable.
Well, you know, one thing, Ron, is, and I know this is about you guys, and I don't want to make it about me, but one thing I would like to add to your legacy is having one of me being part of your project, adding to my IMDb page that I got to work with Ron Rossman. I'm not just saying that because you're on the show here. You and I have been friends for a long time, and I've been wanting to really work for you for a long time, and I'm finally going to get that opportunity, and I'm going to bring my friends with me, and that's going to be awesome. Ron Rossman's our guest here. Stroh's Sinister Cinema. We got about 3 minutes here. Ron, real quick here, if our fans want to check out Siege, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
Yeah, so we have a lot. We've got Facebook, The Your Own Hero Productions, which is our production company. We have Instagram, at The Your Own Hero Productions, LLC. We have TikTok, at The Your Own Hero Productions. And we have Twitter, which is at the initials BYOHP official. So we've got all those covered. We're still building a Rumble channel. YouTube will be on Hero Productions on YouTube. We've got the full-length feature film Devil's Daughter, which is a fan film, which is on there right now. It's a horror take on Harley Quinn. We've got some trailers on there as well. Stroh's Sinister Cinema is available on Amazon Prime Video. So check that out. And just to give a plug to my fellow cohort, anything Cryptid Pictures, check it out. Paul's production company is putting out some amazing stuff. Wendigo's in the top 60 in horror, I think, on Tubi. They've got some really great projects coming out, and I'm really excited for Paul. His career has really taken off. So it's nice to be connected with that.
Well, let me ask you this, Paul, Rob, and Chuck. Can we, and I'll look at the schedule here for 2024, but can we get you guys all back on again when season two premieres and when season one wraps up?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right.
Amen.
All right. I love you guys. Unfortunately, they're giving us the iHook sign, so Forsaken, stick around 1 second. I want to thank you gentlemen all for being with us. You have been so wonderful, and we are definitely going to get you scheduled on again, and this is going to be awesome. I cannot wait to work with all you guys and meet all you guys.
Thank you.
Same here, and thank you. Great meeting you, Forsaken, as well.
Great meeting you guys, too.
All right. Love
thank
you guys.
You.
Take care.
You too.
All right. So that was a fun show, huh? Nightmare. What do you think of my gal here, the Forsaken?
She is definitely a character. So it's been a fun night.
Now let me ask you this, Forsaken. I know that you're busy with your modeling career, and you know you're making more money than the rest of us. The rest of us are living off of breadsticks and peanut butter, but. Would you be willing to join us again at some point?
Yeah, of course, always.
And do you think we can get you on set as well? I think that'd be really fun.
We shall see what happens with my schedule and everything, for sure. Just let me know.
All right, real quick here, so we can do this one last time. If our fans wanted to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and TikTok? Tell us all you got.
Yeah, everything is all the same. It's just Saphira the Forsaken _ official for my TikTok, my YouTube, my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Facebook. And follow me there.
And is it possible that if a fan was wanting to get, do you do autographs?
I do. I do posters as well.
All right. Well, they just have to send you a message?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, we got about 2 minutes here before our theme song hits here. So, Matthias, Nightmare, are you going to be with us next week?
Unless things change.
All right. And we have a big Halloween show next week. Unfortunately, the Forsaken won't be able to join us because I believe that you have a photo shoot that's paying you over $500,000 next Monday night, I believe, right?
No.
All right.
I have a photo shoot next week for sure. I got photo shoots all next week because it's Halloween.
There you go. And you'll keep us abreast of what you're doing and when your schedule allows it, you can come back and join us again, all right?
Yes, I will.
All right.
Thank you,
right.
Thank you for having me.
We love you. Thank you.
Love you, too. Thank you.
All right. That was the Forsaken. All right, Nightmare, we got about 36 seconds here. Today was a fun show, you know, and one thing I do got to break to everybody is that, of course, you know, we had the fire pit thing because he was just out of control. You'd have to admit that, right, Matthias?
Yeah, I don't know what happened last week, but, you know, easy come, easy go.
And unfortunately, I don't think Granny Hulkster is going to be back with us either.
I'm not sure about her situation. I mean, with family going on with her, I'm hoping the best for her. I don't know what happened with him. I don't know what the situation is. But, you know, I guess we will just continue on with what we got, and we'll keep pushing like we always do.
All right. Well, until next week, join us every Monday night on 89.1 Kens FM, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Remember, it's not goodbye. It's just good night. Join us every Monday night here live, and we will see you then. Love each other. Care for each other. We'll be back next week. Take care until then.
Bye.